This is called a restroom revelation. And this is with the help of my dear brother John Liu from Berkeley. He was ecstatic just now. We were talking to each other in different stalls, right? He said, "You know, I said to have one a hand with a fish, huh? And one arm with a lamb. In Chinese, that's the word means fresh. You know the Chinese? The left side is fish, the right side is a lamb. That means fresh."
What a revelation.
No, am I right, brothers? Am I right? Okay, now we tell the saints, even the non-Chinese, right? You can go to your English-Chinese Bible to check it out. Okay. That you want to stay fresh, check whether you have a fish, whether you have a lamb. They guarantee freshness. How about that? I almost want to write another song now. A new definition of spiritual freshness. Write it in Chinese. Okay, the other one is, you know, he kind of studied Greek a little bit. He said the word for music and dancing in Luke 15, you know, in the house after the prodigal return, is that that word music is actually a very special word that means has the root of the symphony. So it's not a regular word for music. It's the word for kind of a symphony music, symphonic music, which means it's not one guy playing a banjo, okay? It's a corporate music. And that word for dancing, he said, the meaning is not one man dancing, but a corporate dancing. A group dancing, dancing together. I like that because that's in the house. And whenever there's one new one that is brought home, I tell you the symphony begins, right? The whole church is singing in joy. Am I right? And we'll be dancing, also not each doing their thing, but we will be dancing in harmony. You just get the picture this of a kind of a joyous corporate occasion when even one sinner. Sometimes, you know, in the meetings, we just have a new one invite themselves who are to be baptized. Everyone just want to clap, right? Because if Jacob stands up, no one will clap. You know, he said, "I've been away for 2 months. I'm back now." You say, "Well, welcome. You know, sit down." But a new face, a new one, even looks kind of weird. But I tell you, we are all happy. Isn't that the Spirit's reaction? So, brothers, I hope that we can experience a cultural change. So, just singing and praising alone will not bring us the complete joy. You know, in the Old Testament, when there's singing, there's praising, that means there's a joyous occasion. The thesis this morning is that there's one other thing that will make us joyful, and that's when there's fruit. There's no way our church life will have full joy unless there's fruit all the time. Every meeting, actually, there should be new ones. With the companions, twos and threes, at Starbucks or whatever, with small group in a home, whenever there are new faces, there's joy there. Automatically, there's joy there. it's messy. It's, you know, babies are messy and there's trouble. The more new ones, the more trouble there will be. And that's why Brother Lee says some elders, they don't like trouble. So they stop the increase. No trouble. A bunch of old men. Right, Jim? You know, when you don't have children or grandchildren, and in our age, grandchildren, it's just the two of us looking at each other and checking our heart rate every hour. Honey,
blood pressure.
How are you doing? It dropped a little bit. Well, and until sunset, until we die. That is the sorry condition of a barren family. Today, for our age, it's really the children that gives us joy, humanly, and grandchildren. Without that, it's just you and me again, right? What a way to grow old without descendants. What wonderful thing that we age with lots of children. See, that one is mine. Yeah. That one, you know, I brought him in. That one, you know, I really shepherded. Oh, you are just, life has meaning. Amen. Even I'm dying, but life has meaning.
Amen.
Brothers, this is a picture to show our condition. Many churches are dying. It's just a bunch of old saints looking at each other. You're checking blood pressure. Are you still alive? Are you still growing? You think I'll overcome? What's your overcoming index today? I don't want to die like that. I like to die with, ding dong, the kids are coming again. You know? I like to die that way.
The destroying army.
Brother Lee said, the destroying army. Okay. Now, brothers, we need to spend the 30 minutes on, please pull out your three outlines for next month's family training. And this would be a wonderful one to complement the Jubilee that we're going to review. Okay, it's on the Spirit and the exercise of the Spirit. It's just wonderful. Okay, how many sheets are there? How many lessons are there? Three? No, oh, that's where we go. Okay. By the way, these are straight from the book, the lessons, basic lessons on life, straight from three chapters on this, straight from there. So no claim to originality. This is it. Okay. But let us take a look. It's a familiar subject, but still I like to sort of underscore. Now, the first one really is a fantastic classic outline that once upon a time I got it all memorized when it first came out. And I wish even you would memorize it and help the saints to memorize this outline, because this is sort of the A to Z on the human spirit. This is the A to Z vision in general concerning the human spirit. If it's a little class, a little bit of a training, help the saints to challenge them this week. Memorize it and speak it to one another in the small group, you know? And, okay, so I won't get into detail. A to Z. Number one, it's about, where does the human spirit come from? What's the origin or its creation? So always the most important. You've got to know these verses. You've got to know this Bible, even in caring for new ones. One of the main thing in caring for new ones, the first thing is to help them to know they have a spirit. And then how to exercise it, right? Once they break through that, they're on their way. So this is why this is important. So it's Genesis 2:7. Of course, it's the breath. When God breathed, it's the breath, breathe into the man's nostril. And that breath becomes the spirit in him. So you got a body made from the dust of the earth, physically. Then God's breath into them, that becomes the human spirit. Then man became a living soul. That's when the spirit and the body are together, you got a soul. The soul is the man himself, the person himself, okay? But obviously, this third part, you have to tell the saints, this third part today has been hidden by Satan, the human spirit, for centuries, without which man has no way to contact God or to know God or to experience God. And the human spirit is of utmost importance in our Christian life and in our church life. You have to make that so strong of a point. You have to tell the saints today there's a mix-up of just man having only two parts, right? Spirit and soul, or rather body and soul. Sometimes they say spirit. When spirit, soul, they kind of mix them all up together. So we have three parts, okay? And this is how it came from. Brother Lee say in Proverbs 20:27 there, the breath of life. What does it say? The spirit of man is the breath of Jehovah. So your spirit is not Jehovah, but is something very close to Jehovah. Just like your breath is almost you, but it's not you. So the spirit as an organ is something directly from God. Number two, its importance. Everyone needs to memorize Zechariah 12:1. Heaven, earth, and the spirit of man. God who formed the heavens, laid the foundation of the earth, and what? And made this, formed the spirit of man within him. Everyone needs to recite this verse. To God, our spirit is ranked with the heavens and the earth. Tell the saints, go to some observatory, look at the sky, buy a book on astronomy. Today with the Hubble, today with all these kind of probes, we see into the universe, right? Like, unbelievable. You have to tell them, your little spirit ranks the same as that. It's awesome. It's colossal. It's mind-boggling. Don't be too excited about that. Be excited with your human spirit. Amen. See, you have to speak like this, right? Don't speak in a dead doctrinal way. Okay, number three, the three parts, no time, okay? The conscience, the fellowship, the intuition. And all these verses help you to realize that. And brothers, some of you have never checked these verses out. You should check them out. Why are these verses there? How is that proven? The word intuition is not there. The word fellowship is not there. The word conscience is there in some of the verses, but it's implied. You have to just read. Again, another book that is great is The Economy of God. Very much this speaking about the human spirit. There's a chapter. Very helpful. The economy of God. Number four, the function. What is the function of the human spirit? Wonderful three points. Number one, to contact God. That is to drink the living water. Number two, to receive, to worship God. That is to contact God, to worship God. Number two, to receive God. The human spirit is a built-in organ in every man so that he has the ability, the built-in ability to receive God. And of course, you must contrast human being with animals. That even the top animal called the chimpanzee, we are just one gene off and we'll be chimpanzees or something like that. But the chimpanzee has no spirit. He can never contact God, never receive God. And number three, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So it is to contain God. Right? So this is just wonderful. So simple and yet so wonderful, so powerful. Tell the saints, the new ones, your spirit has such function to communicate with God and even to become a dwelling place of God. Okay, number five, something happened. And that is in the fall, this spirit got deadened. That means it become out of function. It become useless. It was deadened. However, number six, in regeneration when we were saved, the greatest thing in our salvation is not just we were redeemed by the blood, but our spirit is regenerated. John 3:6, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. By God, as that spirit, and with God's life, today we become sons of God because our spirit has been made alive and we have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. Every point is worth celebration. Amen. So don't just preach doctrine to the saints. You know, share this with joy, with gumption, huh? And tell them how wonderful we have such a spirit. Huh? Number seven, to be one spirit with the Lord. This is a wonderful thing that today our spirit is one spirit with the Lord Spirit. And these two have now become a mingled entity. And that is the mingled spirit. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:17, you all know Romans 8:16, the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you need to memorize these things. Number eight, to be the dwelling place of God, Ephesians 2. Today God has a individual dwelling place in us and a collective dwelling place in all of us. And that is the corporate spirit, mingled spirit. So our spirit is where God dwells. It's God's residence. Now, you know, we always say, you got an address. You want to find God, you got an address. And it's not just L.A. It's this district, this street, this number. You can locate God easily. Wow. What something that Christians don't even know. It need not be accidental, our experience of the Lord. And whenever we want to locate him, we know where to go. Okay, number nine, of course, the preeminent commandment in the New Testament is this. It's not do as the Scripture said. It's not any of those. It's walk by this mingled spirit and according to it to have life and peace and so on. So the saints, we need to just walk according to the Spirit, live according to the Spirit. They may not know what you're talking about, but you just talk, just say it. We need to learn to walk by this Spirit and set our mind on this Spirit and so on. This is just classic. Classic. I really encourage memorization. Okay, the second one is now on the exercise. This is something that almost no Christian talk about this except we do. Some of them practice this, especially the Pentecostals, but they don't have a constant exercise of their spirit. This is a great, great thing. Why? Because only when we exercise the spirit, we can touch the Lord and we can experience Christ. And that is everything to us. Okay. So there are altogether 15 points. These are fantastic. I love them. I grew up with this stuff. These verses make me aspire to exercise my spirit during the day and all of that. It's just beautiful, brothers. Beautiful what Brother Lee put together here. Okay, one, our spirit being the Lamb of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. So you tell the saints there's a floodlight, there's a light in your spirit. Actually, it's your spirit. The Lamb actually is God, who is the source of light, but the Spirit is the lamp for the Lord to shine in your inward parts. You tell them why sometimes you feel enlightened? Why sometimes you feel exposed? Why sometimes you bothered by this? I tell you, it is not some mental thing. It's not some kind of psychological thing. There's a real light shining in you. A spotlight, not floodlight, spotlight. That is God shining in you. And so you have to pay attention to that. Number two, our spirit being the hidden man of the heart. You have to know that. That means our spirit is enclosed in our heart, in the middle of the heart. So it's hidden. It's easier to find your heart, but you have to open your heart and find the hidden man there, and that is the spirit. Of course, one important thing here is that it says it's a man. So it's more than now just an organ. Now actually there's a person in there, and that is the Lord, part of our mingled spirit. Okay, so they have to treasure that. They have to revere that even, this inner man within us. Don't just pay attention to the outer man. Pay attention to the other man, the inner man, that is Christ mingled with our spirit. Okay, number four, our spirit needing to be stirred up. I like this. Oh, yes, you have to tell them, stir it up. Stir it up. And if nobody, but what does it say in the Old Testament? Nobody will stir themselves up to call on the name. This is Isaiah or somewhere. Huh?
Jeremiah.
Yeah. So, and Ezra, you know, stir up. And the Lord stir up the spirit, even of the king or something. Tell the saints it's good to keep their spirit humming, stirred up all the time. Keep the engine revving, huh? Keep the spirit just in a state of liveliness and activity and buzzing. That's how we should be. Don't let your spirit die or become dormant. The next one is even more. Our spirit need to be burning. Oh, you have to stir up the spirit until it burns, until it's on fire. Actually, the verse in Romans 12, it's boiling. Boiling. 208 degrees. Boiling. Then number six, our spirit indwelled by the Holy Spirit needing to be the faculty of our prayer. So the way to do this is to pray. Even to stir up our spirit to be burning is to use our spirit to pray. Tell the saints praying is not a mental exercise. That's a big problem. They pray from the mind. Pray from the spirit. And tell the saints, the more you use it, the more you know what it is. You know, these athletes, they use different muscles. I don't know what muscle is what. Everyone has a little name or something. But these athletes, depending on their kind of exercise, they can twitch that muscle. They know where that muscle is. I don't know because I don't use it. But the more we use our spirit, the more we know, we're familiar with that muscle.
Amen.
And it becomes customary, habitual. All right, and praying is the way to do that, including calling on the Lord, right? Okay, number seven, our spirit needing to be the means of our worship. That means worship with our spirit. Worship, you know, when we praise, when we sing praise, when we call on the Lord, when we do these things, use the Spirit. Use the Spirit. Demonstrate. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Well, because I use my spirit so much that even when I say it in a low tone, the spirit is there. No, you should say what? Praise the Lord! Then you explain why do we shout. It's not just because we like shouting. Because the spirit is connected to our mouth, and we need to use our spirit with the help of our mouth to exercise it. Okay. And even many of us don't sing with the spirit. You know, demonstrate. Okay, number eight, our spirit to take the lead in the enjoyment in the Lord. And that's Elizabeth. Not Elizabeth. It's Mary, right? My spirit rejoices, and my soul exults. So the rejoicing, the enjoyment of God, the spirit takes the lead. You say, I'm depressed. Here's a good one. You say, you talk about depression. You're depressed. I tell you, very easy to get out of depression. You don't need to go to the psychiatrist, get those pills. You just need to. All right? You just need to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And tell the saints to do that, right? Amen. Hallelujah. And sing the song, right? Call on the Lord, and therefore with joy shall we draw water out of well of salvation.
Amen.
Oh, no more depression. I don't need no pills. These are very, very practical. Number nine, our spirit need to take the initiative in spiritual ministry. That means to speak. When we prophesy, you know, it says here, the spirit of the prophet, right? Yes. Subject to the prophets, etc. Speak, just speak with your spirit. Number 10, our spirit knowing the things of man. These are a little bit deeper now, you know, in Corinthians 2. Only the spirit knows the things of a man. Man's spirit, the spirit of man knows the things of a man. So the more our spirit is exercised, then we know the inner condition of a man. This is true. We know the inner condition of others. The next one, perceiving things in our spirit. The Lord perceives certain things that you cannot see. It's not visible. But the spirit senses. The spirit perceives. The next one, I love this one. Paul says he purposed in his spirit. Don't make up your mind. Purpose in your spirit.
Amen.
So it's a different. It's quite different. Okay, and number thirteen, judging a person in our spirit. That's Paul with a very strong spirit. And number 14, becoming a person in our spirit. And number 15, exercising our spirit by doing the above mentioned things. Now, I don't even know which one to underline, which one not to underline. But I tend to say that the first 8 or 9 points would be probably where you would put more emphasis in. All right? Are you okay, brothers?
Amen.
I hope you would learn, even from my little speaking here, don't speak like a doctrinal teaching. Points. Get the points across. No. Speak in a way to inspire. With examples, with demonstration, and lead the saints into that experience, okay? All right, now the last one is on the exercise of the Spirit for godliness. Now here, particularly, is in from 1 Timothy there. It says, what? Bodily exercise, what? Profits little. But godly exercise unto godliness, right? As prophet, even in the life to come. So we're helped to realize that exercise is a gymnastic, is the root word for gymnastics in Greek. And so it refers to a certain kind of deliberate activity to build up your body. So to build up yourself. So this is the word exercise there. But it says exercise unto godliness. So that means our exercise of the Spirit has a purpose. It's not just to be happy, not just to be released, not even just to be just, you can use your spirit to discern and so forth. There is a purpose, and that purpose has to do with God's economy. So the first point is there's something called God's economy. You don't need to get into it deeply, but you can just come to two to explain. There's something called the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy. And this godliness is the Christian life. This godliness collectively is the church life. Godliness means God-likeness. Godliness means expressing God, testifying God. And this is God's economy, that we would all express God. So it is A, God manifested in the flesh, B, the church of the living God. That's in chapter 3. Okay. Then number 3, this is the main point now. How do we become godly? We exercise ourselves unto it. Tell the saints, you don't just sit there and become godly. You don't just somehow you become godly. You need to exercise yourself unto expressing God. The more you exercise properly, the more there is that expression in your daily life. So here you talk about bodily, contrast the bodily exercise. That has profit. You know, you exercise your body to have a certain expression of health. Then godliness is profitable for all things, not just physically, but you mentally. Tell them, you know, when you are exercising unto godliness, even your mind becomes sound. Your emotions become regulated, right? Your will becomes proper. And even your life around you, your relationship with people, the way you judge things, your attitudes, your behavior, all those things would be affected by the exercise of your spirit because it is unto a godly expression. Present life of the coming life. And then number 4, pursuing godliness to be a man of God. What is a man of God? Is a man of the Spirit. It's that simple. If you are a man who belongs to your spirit, that means your spirit is the strongest part of your being, is the prominent part of your being. You are dominated by your spirit. You're that kind of person, you are a man of God. And that does not happen by magic. It comes from exercise. So stress the need for daily exercise, like your body, constant exercise. Right? Okay, you're sitting in a office all day long for 8 hours doing nothing. That's how you die early, right? This kind of a what? A sedentary life. So now the thing you can, it's all over the YouTube and thing. So while you're doing, you do this, right? See my feet, right? Oh, you don't see my feet. So, you know, I'm doing what they call a scissors. You know, right now, my abdominal muscles are being exercised. I'm just doing nothing. I'm just doing scissors, right? And when you get on the plane, especially on mid-haul and long-haul flights, don't just sit there, many of us. That's bad for you. You have to what? And they didn't tell you, you know, move your feet, you know, with your balls and with your, right? And do this and do that. And even don't work sitting there. Work standing there. Every, you know, my, wife works at the desk. She has a simple software every 30 minutes. Bong. Then she stands up and goes around and do whatever and then comes back and then work. I tell you, work better. You'll be more clear mind, right? So point being what? Exercise constantly. Don't exercise once a day. Your spirit. Exercise it. Bong. Okay, exercise the spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. And then you go back to work. Right? This is practical. Okay, living godly in Christ. The more you exercise your spirit, the more you can live Christ. Live in Christ. It's not this strange, miraculous thing. Suddenly you live Christ. The more you exercise your spirit, the more you will live godly in Christ. That means all the godly attributes and virtues will become yours through such exercise. Okay, having the power of godliness, there's a certain power associated with godliness, not just the form, it says, but the power of it. The power comes from the strength of our spirit, and that strength comes from our much exercise. The Lord being with our spirit, of course, contacting the Lord by using the spirit to receive grace and calling on the Lord's name out of a pure heart with the Lord's callers. I think you all know this. Okay? So here, you use the picture in Timothy to stress the spiritual exercise, much like the physical exercise, unto a godly living. And that godly living collectively is the church life, a life that expresses Christ. Okay? Now, I am very quick to cover this because these are basic, but brothers, don't skimp over it. Don't assume the saints know this, and don't just kind of gloss by. Really exercise yourself to help the saints. All right? Yes? Thank you. Isaiah 64. Thank you. Calling to lay hold of Jehovah.